Well, there's one woman's story on this incredible story today. Oren Amate is with me, registered psychologist, docamate.com. So, doctor, obviously you don't know Gian Gomeshi. You haven't assessed him. We're not really actually specifically here talking about him. But let me ask you about the issue itself. What causes a person to decide that they have maybe the power and the right to treat other people that way?
Well, there are a few things. I mean, again, we're not talking about him necessarily, but people who have a narcissistic personality disorder, sociopaths and psychopaths, all of them have in common a complete lack of regard for others, an inability or an unwillingness to take their perspective, and no true compassion. You put those together and it allows you to do virtually anything. And a lot of them also are able to compartmentalize so that while they're doing it, they're not focusing on what they're actually doing. They're not focusing on the other person's pain and suffering. They're not focusing on how nonsensical their rationalizations are for doing what they're doing, and they're not focusing on the potential consequences either to the victim or to themselves. So you put all this together, it makes it very easy for someone like that to be able to perpetrate this kind of terrible behavior on others, this abuse.
All right. I also want to talk to you about maybe the enabling nature of some people around an individual like that in just a moment. In-depth radio, News Talk 1010. I'm Jerry Agar. Upcoming on the Live Drive this afternoon, Sarah McIntyre, who is a commentator at Sun News and formerly the press secretary to the prime minister, so she's got lots of stories to tell, will co-host the Live Drive. Sarah McIntyre, 4 to 7 with Ryan Doyle this afternoon. I'm talking to Dr. Oren Amate, registered psychologist, docamate.com. So we're talking about men who are abusive toward women, maybe people who are abusive toward children, and there are people around them who know. There was a very major personality in the media, doctor, in England at one time who did children's shows and children's charities, and eventually it was discovered that he was abusing children, and apparently it was also discovered there were a tremendous number of people around him who knew that. What's the motivation of people who know about stuff like that at work or in some way to keep it to themselves?
Yeah, Jimmy Savile, the person you're talking about. What's really sad, and I see this all the time with my clients. People are self-interested. They're self-serving. So either for most people, they don't want to be the next victim. They don't want to have some kind of consequence imposed upon them because these people have power. So if you turn a blind eye, or if you try to convince yourself, and when people step back and they look at it, they go, how could you convince yourself that this is anything other than abuse, pedophilia, whatever it is. When people step back, they often are ashamed of what they've done to prevent themselves from being hurt themselves. But because they are self-serving, we are, as humans are self-serving, their main goal is to avoid, again, having the focus turned on them. For other people, it's more simply, they want to ride this person's coattails. They derive a benefit from it. We see this with celebrities. These are fickle fans. They don't want to lose all the benefits they get from associating with this powerful or famous person, no matter how sick they are. And they basically, allow the sickness to continue.
Well, the silence benefits a lot of people. I mean, that's the accusation that was placed against the Catholic Church. They're still dealing with it. Rather than take the hit by calling the police and outing the priest who is abusing young people, we're just going to keep it quiet and move him down the street. There is the possibility that companies, not just the CBC in question right now, but companies, corporations do this, find some way to move the people or the person down the street, and then we're clear, we're out, we don't need the embarrassment.
This happens all the time, and again, I've worked with the people who are victims of this type of machination, and it's so devastating to them because, A, they've been violated, and B, they don't get any sense of justice. And when you feel that you've had your world turned upside down and nothing happens to the person who's done it, in fact, they often get even a promotion in order to move them around while you're stuck suffering, whether you're paying legal bills, you're off work because, you're having a psychological breakdown, people don't trust you, they're turning on you. Your whole life is destroyed while these people are protected. And it's not just the CBC, as you say, it's other media and many corporations. I wish I could speak for all the victims, or I wish I could, I wish I could share all of their stories, because these are stories that need to be told, and all I get to do is see them as they're trying to pick up the pieces of their lives after having their lives destroyed by these kinds of people.
Dr. Oren Amate is with me. Is it true that sometimes when victims come forward, they go to the police, they are not treated properly by the police?
Quite often. It's been about 30 years in the making. There have been so many of these panels, and they keep saying, we're going to change this. We're going to have proper female police officers for a woman victim. We're going to have protocol. We're going to educate them, and not only from the police, but through the court systems. We will make it, whether you're a child, a man, a woman, whatever, we're going to make it we're going to facilitate the process for you, try to protect you and help you. This has not happened in so many cases. If you speak to anybody who's gone through the process, very few of them will say, I was treated properly.
Woman who plays Lucy on Trailer Park Boys has come forward as one of the victims of Gian Gomeshi, so she has outed herself. We heard the lady just earlier when I played you the audio from the News 95.7 Halifax radio station. She said that this story coming out in the paper, and that there's a person who actually named herself, gave her so much relief. Will that make it easier, perhaps, for some of the victims to say, okay, I'm going to come forward now?
In this specific case, yes. For any other case, it's going to go back to square one. They've seen, because everyone's seeing, when it was just one person, supposedly, people were, on Jean Gomeshi's Facebook page, the vast majority of people were jumping to his defense and calling this woman all these horrible names, knowing nothing about her. And that's not to say that men and women do not make false allegations, but the reality is people's first instinct was to completely dismiss her claim. So people are going to realize, unless I have the backing of other people and witnesses or hardcore evidence, and even with the evidence, it's not a guarantee that people are going to believe you, unfortunately. I don't know if this will do much for individuals, but in this particular case, when people are feeling that, yes, I am, people are being believed, I have a coalition of others who are going to, support my story, I think we're going to hear far more cases, because people I've spoken with, unfortunately, who know this story pretty well, so many of them said, this is the worst kept secret. Everybody knew what was going on. They may not have known the extent, but so many people have heard the whispering.
Yeah. Well, and so that brings me to my next point. So many people heard the whispering. So many people apparently were involved. And I made a short statement on Twitter, Dr. Amate, this morning, that I said that, as hard as it is, and I realize that it's hard, I wanted to encourage people to come forward because, for one thing, can you think of the possibility of the future victim? And in fact, here's a kind of a version of what I said. When a man has a history of violence against women, a long trail of silent victims leads toward an open road of opportunity for him. Is that an unreasonable thing for me to have said? Certainly a lot of people on Twitter think it is.
Yeah, it's difficult because, you're absolutely right. What you say is factual. And for every person who stays silent, that does probably mean that more victims are going to be abused. The unfortunate thing is, the reality is, I say this to my patients as well, I'm not the one who has to put my reputation, my name, my psychological health on the line. So I can say, for the greater good, this is what should be done. But nobody should force somebody to do something that, that they may not be prepared to do and they may not be able to handle. So I think your statement is appropriate. And I hope some people are finding the courage to come forward. And everybody else has to respect the needs of anyone else who cannot come forward, because once again, we're not in their shoes, and it's a long, hard process.
It's a long, hard process for them, and it's apparently a too long and too hard a process for us as a society to put together an environment where they will feel welcomed and safe to come forward with stories. Because these stories, not just the Gian Gomeshi story that is so prevalent in the news today, are not unusual, and they just go on, some people victimizing individuals time after time after time. And when stories are known, and I would guess other people know about it, and they hush-hush it, that further emboldens the predator.
Oh, definitely. And that's when the thing that stops most people from doing bad things, it's not morality, although for some people it is. For most people, it's fear of consequences. And if you're being shown quite clearly, there are no consequences, you're further emboldened to keep doing the bad things.
What's the psychology of people who actually want to be involved in relationships where, they smack one another around?
Well, if it's done consensually, if it's a respectful, consensual BDSM relationship, which I'm really, you know, a lot of people in the community are upset because Jean Gomeshi has twisted this into something it is not. She's trying to say this is just BDSM or kink. It used to be considered a pathology. And over the last couple of decades, more and more people are saying it's an expression of your sexual, or expression and satisfaction of your sexual needs. And if it's done in the right way, it doesn't have to be considered something that has to be fixed or something that's wrong. It's different strokes, different folks.
Okay, but obviously, if it's non-consensual, it's abuse.
Yes, if it's non-consensual, it's abuse. So if somebody is the abuser, that goes to either a narcissist or a sociopath, someone with no compassion. If they're the victim, then they often have a long history of abuse against them, starting in childhood. They don't feel they deserve better, unfortunately. And if they ever find someone who's better, unfortunately, their own pathologies might drive the other person away, or they might, contribute to dynamics that make the relationship fail. So unfortunately, they find themselves time and time again in the hands of horrible people who will take advantage of them. And it almost seems like the predators can sniff out these types of people. They would be the vulnerable people.
Dr. Oren Amate, registered psychologist, docamate.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Jerry.
All right. In-depth radio, News Talk 1010.